okay?
Yeah, there's just, like, so many... Oh, my God, there's just so many stupid things.
Yeah, Zoom is in my favorite.
Yeah. guys. When you're ready, you can start waiting for me. How are you?
I'm just ready. Yeah, we can let people wait on if I'm ready to go to the doctor. Everything's okay.
Alright, hello everybody. Are you all doing good? Good? We'll be starting in a few moments.
Recording in progress.
Alright, hello everyone. Welcome to the SWU General Assembly public session. The meeting is called to order at 18:07 on the 29th of September 2022. I would like to remind you all the meeting is live streamed and a recording will be made publicly available on the website. At this time, seeing as we have less than 350 members present, the General Assembly cannot be called, and instead is a consultative forum. All motions will need to be sent back to Legislative Council for approval. I would also like to ask that any non-McGill members please leave this meeting, if any. Now moving on to the land acknowledgement. The Student Society of McGill University acknowledges that McGill University is situated on the traditional and unceded territory of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabe Nations. The Student Society of McGill University recognizes and respects these nations as the true and constant custodians of the lands and waters on which we meet today. Further, the Student Society of McGill University commits to and respects traditional laws and customs of these territories. Alright, well, moving on to the adoption of the standing rules. The standing rules have been distributed. Are there any additions or corrections to the standing rules at this time? We can quickly go through them as well. If there are no modifications or changes, can I get a motion to adopt the standing rules as distributed? Councillor Adler. Councillor Adler has let me know by chat that he is moving the motion. But can't talk at this moment. Is there a second to this motion? Cat Williams. Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah,
thank you. Apologies for Councillor Adler. We seem to have had a small technical problem. It should be fixed now. All right. Thank you very much. At this time, we'll be quickly voting on the adoption of the standing rules. Now, I do realize I should have mentioned beforehand, if ever you have a question on proceedings, simply raise your hand. And I will call on you, and you can ask for you can actually just ask a question. We'll call it a point of parliamentary inquiry. But you can just ask your question, and I'd be more than happy to answer any procedural questions. The rules that we use are the Roberts Rules of Order, modified by the standing rules that we are currently voting on. So at this time, I will ask you all to please vote on these standing rules using the reactions. You have the yes, the no, and in case you wish to abstain from this vote, you may use the aye or nay button. So at this time, please vote. Thank you all for voting. With 16 votes yes and no opposition, this motion passes and the standing rules have been approved. Well, moving on to the adoption of the agenda. The agenda has been distributed. Are there any modifications or additions to the agenda at this time? Cat Williams.
Hi, I would just like to modify so the from the executive report to the vice president and child by the court can go first, just because I have to leave early from
the All right, thank you. We can do this modification.
Thank you.
Are there any further modifications at this time? Seeing none, can I get a motion to adopt the agenda? Angelica will say yes.
Sorry about that. I was having the same issue as Dan, but then I moved to adopt the agenda.
That's in order. Thank you. Councilor Ripple? Oh, I received chat confirmation of a second from Councilor Ripple. Thank you. We'll now be entertaining your votes in the same way that we did with Nanny Rose using the yes and no reactions. Thank you all. 14 votes yes and no opposition. This motion passes and the agenda has been approved. I will also note this is our first GA, just for future GAs as well. You're all here, councillors included, as members and not as councillors or, in the case of executives, as executives. As such, usually, unless you write in your name, councillor, I won't call you by councillor because you're not here as a councillor. So if you would be able to, it'd be appreciated if you could change your names back for the GA to your full name. Thank you. All right, with this, we can now move on to the minutes for approval. The minutes have been distributed. Are there any changes or corrections to the minutes at this time? So the minutes, for those who may not know, are the written recording of the events of past GAs. And so here you can see them. They've also been distributed in advance of this meeting. If there are no corrections to the minutes, they will stand approved as distributed. All right, so they stand approved as distributed.
Did we approve them as block or... Just
Thank you. All right. We can now move on to question period. This is an open round for all of you to ask questions, which you may have. These questions generally are asked towards the executives. And so if you have any questions at this time, we have 5 minute period of questions, please raise your hand. To know there will also be a question period after every report. All right, if there's no questions at this time, we'll move on to point 7, the report of the Board of Directors.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Hi, everyone. Hope you're having a good day and a good evening. I'm just here to give the report of the Board of Directors since our last GA. So I am going to start off by just explaining a little bit about the Board of Directors' responsibilities, just to give us a refresher. I'll go over some of the key decisions of public session that I've had over the summer, essentially. And then if there are any questions, I'm very happy to answer them. So very quickly, what is the board of directors? We do want to make it as clear as possible for folks. So the board of directors is the highest governing body of the student society at McGill University. And its composition is as follows on the slide here. It consists of four executives, four counselors from Ledge Council, and then four members at large. And I do want to stress that applications are currently open for members of the board of directors. We would love to have your applications come in. It is so important for us to have directors on the board of directors who are representative of the student body and who are members at large. And generally, we would have a general manager who is an ex officio, a non-voting member of the board of directors. So there are a few requirements for folks to sit on the board of directors, and you can see them here. So I'm hoping you're all listening to see if you you meet this criteria. But you do have to be a member of the Student Society of McGill University, which of course, if you're an undergraduate student at McGill, you would be. You have to be at least 18 years of age, a citizen or a permanent resident of Canada, not be bankrupt, and not have been declared incapable by a court. And also, we would hope that you don't have a criminal record. So just getting a little bit, you know, post the composition and directors and membership, the powers of the board of directors is really, really important. So as I have alluded to a little bit earlier, it is the highest governing body of the SMU, and it's responsible for the larger responsibilities that SMU has as a corporation. So it is responsible for the finances, the overall finances of the organization, the operations, the human resources, and the legal items that can work for the SMU. The Board of Directors ratifies all of the resolutions that's passed by the Legislative Council and Judicial Board. So all of the decisions that are made in Council or at Judicial Board do have to be ratified and voted on at that board level in order to come into effect. And the Board of Directors does meet biweekly during the academic year, and we meet in the evening. So hopefully, again, for those who are listening out, who are potentially putting forward their application, it'll be well after classes, hopefully. So really quickly, just to give a bit of a recap of some of the decisions in public sessions since the last Board of Directors, sorry, General Assembly last year. We had renewals of contracts and hiring new staff. We approved the Board of Directors standing rules, and we did ratify a few motions since the past year. So here we see the motion regarding accessible libraries, amendments to internal regulations of finance, the adoption of the media and transparency plan, amendments to the internal regulations of student groups, and the operation budget for 2022 and 2023. And again, those motions can be accessed online for further information. And I'd say another key decision that happened was regarding spending. So there was $65,000 that was approved on reusable menstrual products, and that was a decision, one of the key decisions that we've had thus far. So that sort of brings us through some of those key areas that have been covered in public session, and that's the report of the Board of Directors for now. Thank you all for listening, and if you do have any questions on specifics, please do feel free to send me an email at president@smu.ca, and I'm also happy to take any questions that might arise now.
Thank you very much. We'll not be taking any questions from the floor. Anybody wish to ask a question, please raise your hand. If there are no questions, please feel free to contact if you get a question later, the president through the email address on the screen. And at this time, moving on to the next point of the agenda. We'll now move on to the reports from executives. Starting with the report of the VP Internal Affairs. All right,
Kat, you're cool. Okay, hi everyone.
Okay, I have a report over here for everyone. I'm just going to run through it. Won't take up too much of your time, hopefully. Just kind of go over a little highlights of things I've done at my position so far over the summer from the period of my election, from my period of me starting from June 1st up until today, basically. So from the various different portfolios, assets in my portfolio, across some communications, some highlights from this section is just revamping a lot of the SMU branding, including SMU social media and external affairs, university affairs, social media as well, creating various resources for new students, especially to learn about what SMU is, creating new SMU merch as well. We'll be giving away at various like events and tablings and various sponsored giveaways on our social media as well. Various hires within the communications department as well, positions that were needed within the SMU communications department. Creating a position of translation manager to help with Bill 96 translations. Meeting with different execs, just different startup companies. From Frosh as well, I was involved in Frosh this year in coordinating the SMU dry event from Frosh this year, sitting on various council organizations and committees within Frosh, tabling at registration tent, and helping to educate new students about what SMU is and what SMU does for them. My main committees that I run is the SMU committee, the Student Society Programming Network. From that as well, hired various positions, recruited all 15 members that we have now, and we have started planning for our first big event for the year, which will be our Halloween party coming up on October 21st. Anyone would like to come along? Information for that will be released soon. Following from that as well, for first year affairs, we've started recruiting for first year council. Applications are open right now as well. If anyone here is a first year and is interested in joining, there's various positions that you can apply for, or also that are by election based as well. Also been sitting on the first year, on alumni affairs council as well. Other projects that I have been ongoing throughout the summer was just editing and hiring other various positions. Again, tabling at lots of different events around campus. Electric food as well, but also including international student services there as well. Also successfully planned and through the SMU back to school party, which happened last week. Additionally, I also sit on the CKUT board directors as well. I've been helping to write some of the harassment and violence policies and help with onboarding new board members as well. Attended various trainings. You can see here ones that I've listed. And also listed at the bottom there are various committees that I sit on or help to chair. So that's kind of a brief overview of what I've been doing and what I've done with my position. If anyone has any questions, I invite them to email me at internal@smoo.ca, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right.
So we'll ask now if anybody has any questions to please raise their hand. Seeing no questions, we'll move on to the next agenda, next point of the agenda. Will I be obtaining the report of the president? Rison, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'll just give it a few seconds till my report is up.
Excuse me, could you quickly repeat that?
Oh, I was just thanking you and saying I'll wait until my report is up before I get started.
Yes, I think that would be that would be important.
I'm so sorry, this is taking a while. It's just my computer is super slow today with all the documents, and I'm so sorry.
All right. You have the floor for real this time.
Oh, can I unmute? Am I unmuted? Okay, perfect. Thanks very much. Hi again, everyone. So I'm just here to present my report. So similarly to the style that I did for the previous presentation, just going to give everybody a bit of a refresher on the role that I have, the portfolio that I undertake, and then an update on some of those key projects that I've been working on. So overall, for the role of the President Portfolio, it oversees internal governance, representation, advocacy, and staff. So as it relates to the Constitution, there's the calling of meetings and setting the agenda. There's managing the SMU and McGill administration relations. And this is just overall the Student Society of McGill as an organization and how it relates to the McGill administration. And, of course, represent all the undergraduate students on the McGill Senate and on the McGill Board of Governors. And for the last two, those are the decision-making bodies for McGill University. So I sit on the McGill Senate with other student representatives and same with the McGill Board of Governors. So just getting a little bit further into the McGill representation. So for the McGill Senate, I do attend the monthly Senate meetings representing students there. But there are also a few committees of Senate which carry out the work of the Senate and review policies and get into some of the nitty-gritty work. So for this year, I'll be on the Senate Committee on Physical Development, Committee on the Rights of Senate, the Equity, Diversity, Inclusion Committee, and the Committee on Student Services. For the McGill Board of Governors, I represent students on the Nominating Governance and Ethics Committee and on the Executive Committee. But as it pertains to the Executive Committee, the student seat is non-voting. For McGill administration, I also engage with them to represent students on an ad hoc basis and also join various groups and advisory bodies that maybe float outside of McGill Senate, the McGill Board of Governors. So as of right now, I am on the McGill Sustainability Advisory Committee and the Accessibility Advisory Working Group. Okay, so getting into some of the SMU committees now, which are in terms of Student Society, there are a few committees that the role of the presidential portfolio would co-chair or chair and also sits on. So they include the following: the Governance Reform Committee, the Environment Committee, the Health and Dental Review Committee, Human Resources Committee, the President's Roundtable, the Steering Committee, and the Samosa Committee, which oversees the five-year plan. So as of, I'll give you a little bit of an update as I'm sort of explaining some of these things. So for this year, we're currently filling the seats for these various committees. Some of them have been filled already, but for the most part, we are still filling those seats. And again, I do want to reiterate that for the committees of the SMU, there are opportunities for members at large to be a part of them. So I do encourage you to take a look on our website for more details. And if you're interested, please do apply. But we are going to be getting into quite a bit of the policy work for the year with these various committees. Okay, so under the President's portfolio, there are a few staff members that would fall under it. So the first are the two sustainability commissioners, and we're currently just completing the hiring process for those roles. There's also the campus crops coordinators. So those two operate relatively independently, but because they do deal with crops and that is related to sustainability, they do fall under the president's portfolio and they are operating. And then we do also have secretary generals that support the work of the president and the president's portfolio. Okay, so now that there's been a bit of an overview of sort of the role and what it entails and what I've been up to there, I did want to talk about a few of the key projects that I've been centering my time on and that I hope to work on for this year. Oh, if we can go back one, thanks. So the Equity, Diversity, Inclusion Working Group and Plan. As of right now, working with the SMU governance team, we do have the terms of reference together for the working group, and we also put together an initial structure for the plan. And so as of right now, I had mentioned it previously with committees, but as of right now, we are filling the seats for the EDI working group, and we hope to begin the work on the plan and the consultations very, very shortly. So we're well underway with that. For the Sustainable Development Goals and SDG strategy, This is something where the United Nations has sustainable development goals for 2030. And we do want the SMOO to be a part of engaging with that sustainable development. And so we've been working with the governance team on a policy and a strategy for how sustainability can be adopted at SMOO and what our approach to sustainability is. And this is in tandem, of course, with the actual plan that we already have at SMOO that is scheduled for renewal in January. So this is a really great time to be working on these two in tandem. Another key project is the pilot groceries program. So that program is one that we are implementing and we're hoping to have underway for a pilot run of it this semester. And this is where we're hoping to provide groceries to students to address food insecurity on campus. And then we're hoping after that pilot program runs, we'll learn from the pilot run and be able to implement a long-term program like this at the SMOO. Another key project that will be undertaken this year is updating the five-year plan, and that's a policy that's extended each year for 1 year. So that will be quite a big undertaking for the year as well. And my final project is the interfaculty relations framework, and that will be worked on with the President's Roundtable. So as of right now, again, we have our template and our structure for that policy, and it's something where throughout the year we'll have the various faculties engaged. We'll do consultations, we'll get the recommendations, and then hopefully that's a project that will be completed this year for us to approve and just have those guidelines for how the faculties relate and how SMOO supports their activities. So that brings us to the end of my report for the GA. Again, if there are any questions, please let me know. Please feel free to reach out to my email, and I'm happy to take any now as well. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. At this time, if you have any questions, please raise your hand. All right, seeing none, thank you. We're moving on to the next report. We now have the report of the VP External Affairs.
Can I just confirm if we're presenting both like the PowerPoint version and the, what is this called, PDF version, or is it just PowerPoint?
Just the PowerPoint.
Okay, I'm going to need a quick minute to like stop sharing my screen and pull it up from my email.
All right. Great. Val, you have the floor.
Hi, everyone. Donc, c'est le rapport des affaires externes pour l'Assemblée générale. So, let us begin by the mandates. You can switch chat. So basically what we do in external affairs, you can find a summary of the mandates here if you have your phone ready and you want to take a look at that. So on the next slide, you can see that there's kind of four components to external affairs. There's external representation, community relations, political campaigns, and advocacy and solidarity. I'll go through these one by one, but if you want an even more complete picture of those mandates and what they are in reference to governance document at SMOO, you can take a look at the more complete mandate letter below. So first, I wanted to showcase my team. So on the next slide, you'll have a chance to see who we are in External Affairs, because I do not do this work alone. So there's me, but there's also Fanta, who does research with us, Eve, who just started as an External Affairs Commissioner, Zeke, who also does External Affairs with us. On the next slide, you'll see the rest of the team. So Dharana, who's the Community Engagement Commissioner, Issa, who's the Community Affairs Commissioner, Anna, la commissaire aux affaires francophones, and Marie-Pel, the Black Affairs Commissioner. So on this team, we're currently missing a political campaigns coordinator, so if you're interested in that position, feel free to apply. We'd really love to have you with us. So if we talk about external representations, there's a lot of components to it. First off, we have municipal political affairs. So currently, we've established a few connections with elected city officials, but we also built an advocacy framework to make sure that sidewalks will be accessible during the winter. External affairs is also provincial political affairs, so we participate in various instances with student associations, meet with them, and discuss priorities in order to build advocacy and mobilization. We are currently in the midst of organizing a fall activist boot camp that will happen November 4th, 5th, and 6th with various student associations in the goal of building an activist community and fostering knowledge sharing. You can switch that. External affairs also means talking to federal government. So at SMU, we are with UCRU, which is a board of the U15 research intensive universities, and with them we do advocacy to the federal government. We sent a letter recently to the Minister of Immigration regarding delays in study visa, and we've also established priorities for which we'll lobby in November, so student employment, financial aid, mental health, and Indigenous post-secondary education. Lastly, in external representation, we have unions affairs. So it is within our mandate to be in solidarity with various unions on campus and off campus. So lately, what we've been doing is supporting PGSS in their hope to advocate for students regarding Bill 96, which is a reform to the French language charter, and also various other campaigns, and we've met with various unions and supported them in their mobilization, notably the climate strike of Action, but also mobilization of unions against the closure of the music conservatory. After external affairs, another component is community relations. That's an essential part of our portfolio, and with various commissioners, we do work in Milton Park. So we've organized a few events, did street teams during Frosh, and are currently in the midst of reviewing the care agreement. A lot of our community work also regards disaffected hospitals that are next to McGill. So right now, Rural Victoria Hospital is currently being considered by McGill for their new VIC project, and there are Indigenous demands that no excavation happen. So we're currently supporting the Yanagihagagan Centra in their demands to stop excavation because of possible unmarked graves on this lot. We also help facilitate social maintain like a social mandate, right, for those disaffected hospitals and prevent their privatization with various community partners. Community relations also relates to affordable student housing, so the Community Affairs Commissioner also plays a big role in that. SMU is currently working on a project to build affordable housing for students in that will like become available in 2026. So through that, we're working with various partners, so ITSIV, the PUSH Fund, the Native Friendship Center. We're studying the Urbanism and Mobility Plan of Montreal. And affordable student housing is more than this project and these various partnerships. It's also about education and advocacy mobilization. So we held a workshop recently on housing rights with Hojo and SLAM, and eventually a podcast on this should come, so if you want to learn more about your housing rights, stay tuned. And we also support students who experience exploitative landlord practices. So if that's something that you're experiencing and need support, feel free to reach out. And lastly, community relations, community engagement, so trying to engage McGill students with the broader McGill community. So right now we're working on a community engagement database and a hamper program to be able to facilitate that. And as well, we've met with various community engagement partners, notably the branch's office at McGill, to talk about their equity, diversity, and inclusion, as well as their community engagement initiatives. External affairs is also about political campaigns, and I say that's often the flashy aspect of the portfolio, and this is what you get to work with if you come work with us as a political campaigns coordinator. So a campaign that usually takes a lot of space at SMU is the Campaign for Climate Justice, so you've probably heard of Divest, McGill, and the work that they do, so we continue to support them in the Climate Week. We just went last Friday, had a climate strike. They are mobilizing for the Stop Line 5 campaign, so there's quite a lot going on in that sense. We're also mobilizing for a campaign for the withdrawal of policing criminalization as per position. So we supported various organizations, notably Solidarity Across Borders, Migrant Rights Network, the Coalition to Defund the Police. And we're also in the midst of organizing a vigil for Marsa Amini with Iranian students. So yeah, there's quite a lot going on there too. A lot of other political campaigns are under SMU, so we have students currently working for the Divest for Human Rights campaign, notably for Uyghur rights. Something should come and disarmament, so the Students for Peace and Disarmament, or Peace Club, as some call it, are still active this year, supporting our freedom of religion position by supporting the Coalition Against Bill 21, but also groups such as the South Asian Diaspora Action Collective in an event that they do. And other campaigns include ones for accessible education. So right now we've been supporting the Financial Aid Office in publicizing their resource, but if that's something that you're interested in, we can always further that campaign. Gender equity is also really important in the campaigns we support. So we've been, you know, researching the impacts of Bill 2 on trans and non-binary students, supporting the Trans March, looking into a provincial campaign for menstrual justice, and introducing a campaign against street harassment to a more a broader federal campaign called Courage to Act. Political campaigns is a lot of those flashy campaigns that you get to support, that we get to support, but it's also kind of building that infrastructure, so making sure that we have like a budget and we can provide resources to those campaigns. We also collaborate quite often with Cooper to go over popular education events and various resources. Lastly, external affairs is advocacy and solidarity. We have a lot of mandates in Indigenous solidarity, so recently I've been meeting with a lot of Indigenous stakeholders to extend our support and our interest in collaboration. We revamped the stakeholder consultation guide with the VP Student Life, and we've just been sharing a lot of the resources we can offer to Indigenous students. So if you have any questions about that, feel free to email me or email the Indigenous Affairs Commissioner, so iac@smu.ca. And lastly, we've recently been mobilizing around the Indigenous Law Association's open letter in the context of Truth and Reconciliation Day. So that is happening this Friday, September 30th. There is currently a sale of orange shirt happening and also a lot of activities, so I encourage you to check it out and take this time to reflect and take action. If we move on from Indigenous Affairs, we also support Black Affairs. So the Black Affairs Commissioner is actually in the EA team, and they've just come into the role this summer, and they've already done so many cool projects. I don't know if you saw the Black Marketplace that happened this Wednesday, actually. It was really cool. Other cool projects that are coming up is looking into possibly having a Black Affairs magazine, and just they're continuing with their advocacy, and I am happy to be able to support them in that.
On supporte aussi les affaires francophones. Donc, la commissaire aux affaires francophones a voulu, dans le fond, inclure davantage les affaires francophones dans les activités d'accueil, puis dans les activités de l'AEUM, donc notamment à la soirée des activités. Donc, j'ai pu l'aider à créer un vieux plan informatif, puis à la diriger vers différents partenaires qui pouvaient l'aider dans ce domaine-là. Puis, on a aussi fait l'étude là, de la loi 96 qui est sur la réforme la charte de la langue française pour informer les étudiants sur cette nouvelle loi-là, mais aussi s'assurer que l'AEUM en tant qu'organisation répond aux demandes de cette nouvelle loi. So, I wanted to tell you as well about some upcoming motions that are coming up at LEDGE. So notices of motions have been submitted at last Legislative Council, but if you want to come to the next Legislative Council on October 6th, you'll get to see a motion regarding the adoption of a master plan for addressing racist surveillance and doxing at SMU and McGill University, and as well as a motion regarding the adoption of a consultation policy. So if you're interested in learning about those, giving your opinion, feel free to show up to Legislative Council or to send an email to your SMU representative so they can put your opinion forward. These are all mandates that have been given to me by the students through various instances. If there's something that's not in there that you would really like for us to advocate for or to partake in, feel free to send me an email. It's always possible to create new mandates and to hold sessions to vote on them. So if you have any questions or require any support, I'm really happy to help you do that. Today is a good occasion, but there are many more, so I'm happy to help you in that situation. So lastly, there's a few things that we did. I want to say a little more infrastructure related. So we launched the social media this summer of External Affairs. We're almost ready to launch the website, which is really exciting. We have begun to review like the sponsorships at SMU to make sure they're in line with governance document. Finance wise, we're looking at the possibility of changing banks, notably because of calls of Indigenous land defenders regarding our current bank. Their date letter that you've maybe scanned before. So if you want to learn more, you can change the slide, Jeff. You can follow us on social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter with three different handles because why make it simple when you can make it complicated? I can for sure find us. And if you have any questions, you can email me at external@smu.ca. So that's the last slide. Jazz, just want to click. Si vous avez des questions, vous pouvez m'écrire à external@smu.ca. Si ça soit en anglais ou en français, ça va me faire plaisir de vous répondre. Si vous avez des questions aussi maintenant, if you have any questions now, I'm happy to answer any of them.
Bon, merci beaucoup, Val. We'll not be taking any questions. Please, if you have any questions, please raise your hand at this time. All right, seeing none of them. Moving on to the next report. Seeing by the camera shift, I'm guessing Marco's next. Indeed. All right, so we next have the presentation of the VP Finance. All right, Marco, you have the floor.
Thank you. Hey, everyone. So my name is Marco. I'm the VP Finance Body this year. And I'll talk a little bit about what is it to be the VP Finance. I have a hard time to do summaries so an agenda, so you can go to the next slide. Just thank you. So what do I do? Okay. So my presentation is a bit messy. Can you skip this slide as well, please? Yes. So basically, as the VP Finance, I have the main of my work is to work with the VP Student Life to help clubs and services to run activities. For clubs, we have over 250 different clubs that need bank accounts, and there's a lot of accounting behind it. And so I'm responsible to oversee the whole process with the club finance coordinator, Lalia. We work to support clubs in all their events. the main exercise is on the RBC Express. It's the website where they can access everything. And so it's a lot of individual requests that take a lot of time. This is for clubs. There is the next slide with services. We have 17 services at the SFMU. Each one of them have different needs. And so it's basically assisting them in their daily life financially. Next. Thank you. General finances. So as VP Finance, every other exec have a lot of projects that cost money, and so I'm working with the accounting team to have an oversee of the annual budget. I will present a revised budget end of October in a month based on the past 5 months. We also have a investment fund of which I oversee during the summer, and the finance committee oversees. Also, you can apply for the finance committee, but I will talk about it later. And then it's all the payments that SMU does comes to me. I need to sign them to make sure everything is correct. For the auditing that is happening in the summer this year, everything was, it was an amazing year in auditing. In terms of auditing, they were really happy of last year's, even though there was a lot of changes happening during the year. This ended a few weeks ago, so we're going to try to do the same good work. You can change slides. Funding, we have eight different funds to which you can apply. If you don't know to which one you want to apply, it doesn't matter. The application, we focus not on which fund you want to apply, but on the specific of the funding, and then we will help you to navigate them. We have a lot of surpluses because of COVID, and so a lot of money is waiting for your cool projects. All of them have a lot of surpluses, and so if you have any ideas, even if you're not a club, just as a McGill student, even if you're not a McGill student, then you won't be here, but like, if you have friends that are not a McGill but that have projects that deals with McGill students, they can apply for funding. And so, yeah, don't hesitate. Next slide. Thank you. The main part of the SSMU is the health insurance plans. So if you're Canadian, with the Canadian insurance, you are enrolled in the health and dental plan, and if you're international, only in the dental plan. This year, change slides, please. This year, we are working on the legal protection plan. So we are doing a one-year trial, to which you will vote during the winter referendum. It's a plan that to which every undergrad are part of. And basically, one of the main services, you can call lawyers for free anytime for everything, and you can also be represented in court up to $1,000. Next one. So the main projects for this year, I'm working with the Finance Commissioner and Heavy Services on the surpluses. There is COVID surpluses, but there is also a lot of in the different fund. So when you pay your tuition fees is mandated to be used in a certain way. So it stays in funds. And so when there is a lot of surpluses, we cannot do anything with this money. So we are working on maybe having a fee consolidation. This will allow services to not have a referendum every 5 years. It will have a lot of, it could be very beneficial, but unfortunately in the past few years, this work was, there was not a lot of consultation, and so this year we're really going to try to have as much people as possible to work on the future of the fundings we have. That's it. And also, we are working on the youth and the university center building and the new building we have, 3501 PL, to have new tenants. There is a little bit of changes in the IRS, International Regulation of Finances. That needs a little bit of check-ins. And also, we are looking to change banks because now we are with RBC, and a lot of students have demanded to divest from RBC to change banks, and so we are looking for other institutions. Next slide, thank you. And how can you get involved? So as I said, there's a lot of committees. The one that are close to me are the finance committee, in which you oversee the investment fund, the whole long-term financial matters of the SSMU. You can also apply for the funding committee, in which we meet once a week to review all the applications. And I think I'm done. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to send me an email. I have office hours every day, so you can book an office hours and we can chat about anything. So, yeah, that's it for me. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
All right, thank you very much. We'll not be taking any questions on this presentation. We did receive a question by chat, so I will read it out. Has the budget for services rolled out for another year with COVID, or has it been clawed back? This is from Leon Tisha. So, Mark, I'll leave you to it.
What is clawed back? I don't know. Bon, and anyway, the service budget is, so all the money that wasn't spent in the past years stays in the service budget, because when you pay your fee, for example, if you pay $2 for a certain service, only the service is allowed to touch this money. And so some services spend all of their money, others didn't have the chance to do so. And so the surpluses from the last years stays on this year, and the budget changes in a sense because they have more money, but they still have the same fee every year, because if they want to change the fees, they have to do it a referendum. I don't know if I answered the question correctly, but because I'm not sure I understood correctly the question. Does it? Did you have?
I was confirmation.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. So thank you very much, Marco. Are there any further questions?
I had a question. That was nice, huh?
Still getting used to being in this hybrid mode. All right. At this time, if there are no further questions, we'll move on to the next report. The report from VP University Affairs. All right, Carrie, you have the floor.
Hey, hello, everybody. My name is Carrie, and I'm the Vice President of University Affairs for this year. So hopefully we'll just give some time for my report to load. We'll do it soon. Okay, there we go. This is my report for the fall 2022 GA. Okay, so pretty much I'm just going to go over, like, the way my report is divided is, like, the sort of, like, the different sections that the UA is responsible for, and I'm just going to go into, like, each of the sections and, like, provide a bit more detail and context. So with the first one, it's going to be, like, university affairs and representation, which is sort of, like, a major purpose of the role. So sort of the responsibilities of the role is to sort of, like, run the undergraduate student senate and also the committee representation. So I run both, like, senate caucus and I also sit on senates. And those are sort of like the main aspects of like my role. I'm also sort of responsible for like the student rights and the Know Your Rights campaign, both sort of like the individual and also the overarching support. So both just like on the ground, sort of like the tabling and like providing support there, but also like interfacing with other sort of like actors sort of in this situation, such as like the academics, to sort of also like provide more knowledge around student rights. Of this sort of things are like university level accountability, so that's making sure like the universities are kept in check with like a variety of different things, for example like the Relic Project, or like university level policy review and development. So sort of like looking at like any times like new policies come into play, but also being like a sort of a stakeholder and like voicing student opinions on like university policies and any new ones that sort of move through, and also like a lot of research and advocacy projects. So in terms of like the McGill committees that I sort of sit on, there's sort of like several. So there's the Senate Steering Committee, the Senate Nominating Committee, which are like two bigger committees. But then there's also like various other ones, which include like Committee on Student Services, which deal with like all the student services, the Academic Policy Committee, which deals with like the various like aspects of academic policy that passes through this university, and also sort of like weekly check-ins with the Dean of Students, and also regular meetings with senior admin, and also like other university stakeholders, because another like important part of the role is just like interface with the university and like move forward like sort of student police and like student advocacy there. So that another sort of aspect is like academic rights. So a very key aspect of the job is just like supporting individual students who report academic violations by sort of like instructors, and just like reaching out and like talking to like various stakeholders in this university whenever there's sort of like academic violation, whenever there's sort of like an issue. So I also sort of like hold the legal academic roundtable with the March, which is sort of like meeting with all the VP academics, and also like the Know Your Rights campaign. So this year there was sort of like successful tabling at like various locations throughout this university. We're able to sort of like provide students with information, give out like flyers about like Know Your Rights and the various student rights at this university. We also like put up posters all over campus and talked about academic rights during activities night. We also tabled, and also like we're putting like information on the stairs and have local VP academics to get the word out, and also like more information out, and also like new pamphlets about legal protection services, which VP Finance alluded to earlier. All right, please. And also just in terms of like the academic resources and like libraries, which is sort of asked for the job. So the responsibilities there are just like with library development and also like the library improvement fund, study spaces and like physical development, academic accessibility, library relations, and also like menstrual product access in the library. So essentially sort of with these like sort of responsible for like seeing like library developments and seeing like the different projects that are taking place, but also like running the library improvement fund, which has like a lot of money in which we can use to like improve the library, for example, like extending the hours of a library, which is one aspect that the library improvement fund covers. Also, yeah, like making sure like there's a lot of study spaces and physical development goes well, but also making sure like these spaces are accessible for students and for like all kinds of students, but also like just with like library relations and talking with like the libraries and also sort of like the library administration, but also like providing menstrual product access in the library is another sort of aspect, and also open educational resources, which are sort of like free like resources to help like support studies and like academia. So we are currently like maintaining and expanding like the OER. The OER commissioner was like hired recently, so like the ball has been a bit slower there, but we've been working on it. Also in terms of like sort of relevant staff in terms of academic resources and libraries, there's sort of the Library Improvement Fund Commissioner who oversees the Library Improvement Fund and also the Library Improvement Fund Committee, but also like the Open Educational Resources Commissioner. Slide. So in terms of like advocacy. There are sort of like various projects that like I'm working on. First one is sort of like academic wellness and like working on an academic wellness plan, and also working with sort of like stakeholders and admins to start implementing like these ideas, and just did like a lot of consultations, and we have started to work to implement and just like interface and like see what ideas we can like make a reality. We also are working on like service animal policies, and I'm working to get McGill to have service animal policy, which it doesn't, compared to like a lot of other universities. And I did like extensive research and worked on like potential policies that could be taken into effect. So in terms of like short-term accommodations, it's just like finding a system in which like we don't need like medical notes anymore, and then which students who might have like short-term accommodation needs to actually get like the support that they need and actually get like just a break. So sort of in that, we started like consulting with several stakeholders on it, and also like research on different systems, and finally also like note sharing initiatives. So we're sort of working on expanding like note sharing, which is like mainly based in sort of science and law right now. We're trying to get it to like all sorts of different faculties, and we also like created amazing training presentations for a lot of help, and we're distributing it to sort of like different departments and faculties. Side. Also in terms of like additional projects. So the Digis Affairs portfolio is under like UA. So I'm supporting the Digis Affairs Commissioner while also maintaining the autonomy of the portfolio and just like providing support when I can. Also hiring staff to support like IAC. Sort of like did that over the summer. And also like strengthening SMU's mandate of Indigenous solidarity at SMU and also more broadly by supporting sort of just the Affairs Commissioner and like also various other aspects at this university as well, so like interfacing with like the university admin. So in terms of like gender and sexuality, just like helping the GSP like administer like QIPS, which is like career improvement and partnership solidarity. In terms of like equity, like I've worked on like several equity complaints with the equity commissioners who have been hard at work and making sure like they're followed through and done properly. And also like we started reforming this new equity policy, which is another big project that we've been working on. So in terms of like gender and sexual violence, working to sort of like look at the IRP and look for like any revisions. We're planning on calling sort of like a governing committee soon to sort of get started on that, but also like supporting the anti-violence coordinator and being sort of like support networks there. So next slide. Another sort of like major project is like the mental health project. So the new team is sort of like hard at work. There's sort of like a few products available across campus, and we're expanding to like new locations across campus with like baskets, because although like locations that we have are pretty good, we want to reach a bit more people. We also started like revamped monthly pickups with reusable and biodegradable products this year. So those are sort of like the period aisle, like reusable like cups, menstrual underwear, and also like liners and pads, but also like biodegradable products, which we get from Lujoni, which are like 100% biodegradable, made without plastics. We're also providing like products to residences, and we've also like advised other universities on how to run the programs. So we're also renewing the free menstrual product policy, and we're looking to see if we can possibly get like sustainability project funding, like fund funding. And we're also like working to expand onto like a 360-degree solution as well with like a partnership with Citron. In terms of sort of like the daycare, we're overseeing like day-to-day activities of the daycare as sort of the daycare president. I oversee like the budget and finances, and I'm also involved with the daycare union negotiations. That. Yes, questions, comments, and concerns.
Alrighty, thank you.
One
second, let's see. What's this echo? Alright. No more echo. Okay, good. So thank you very much, Carrie. At this time, I'll be taking any questions. If anybody has a question, please raise your hand. All right, seeing none, we'll be moving on to the next point of the agenda. We have the last report, the report of the VP Student Life. Hasa, you have the floor.
Okay, sorry. It wasn't letting me unmute myself for some reason. Hi, everyone. My name is Hasa Natu. I'm the Vice President of Student Life. And this report will be very brief. We can go to the next. So this is just a quick overview on what I'll be talking about real quick. So first I'll go through my portfolio, then activities night, which just went by, and then go through a little bit about student groups. Touch briefly on family care because Carrie already did that, and then mental health. Okay, so the office of my, I guess my office, within my portfolio, what I'm responsible for is overseeing the 300 plus club services and ISGs that we have. So I manage the relationship between between SMU staff and these groups, as well as like resolving any sort of conflicts and mediating that. I also have mental health underneath my portfolio, and I work very closely with the mental health commissioner for various mental health initiatives. One of which Carrie also already mentioned, the academic wellness plan. We also had an anti-cafe today, so I don't know if you guys got a chance to go to that. There was free coffee, and there will be more in future. So if you guys ever wanted to stop by and hear more about the events and issues that we have, that would be a perfect place to do that. So I'm also responsible for space family care policies and practices. Unfortunately, I do not sit on the board in any form or capacity this year, but I do sit on like the McGill side of family care subcommittee. I also liaison collaborate with staff from McGill Student Services. So at the beginning of the year, we did a lot to do with the campus life and engagement, along with other student services like the Wellness Hub for Mental Health. So first things first, activities night. We had our first fully in-person fall activities night. It was planned for the lower field. It did have to be moved indoors, but it was still relatively successful. We did have around 8,000, or almost 8,000 attendees and 325 groups tabled on all four floors of the building. We got amazing sponsorship with a lot of free goodies for the tablers as like a reward almost, and photos for that are to come, so keep an eye out on our socials. Okay, so first, student groups, quite a bit happening here. We're still in development of the student group portal partnership. We have a new partnership with incredible features and app that will help facilitate the relationship that student has with its student groups, as well as like forms and any sort of like requirements they have to fulfill. The master list has been updated. It includes group descriptions, just their social media handles, making sure that we're able to communicate with like club execs. And that's also where, like, their status, financial information, and, like, sanctions are also kept. We also have a brand new idea that we're starting to work on, which is coffee hours, along with the VP finance, to make ourselves more accessible to student groups, spotlight weeks, and more social media support has also been introduced, whether this be through, like, takeovers or just providing them the platform to be able to promote their initiatives. Student groups are able to operate in person, so their activities are, like, closely monitored by us, like the student life operations department as well, to make sure that they're complying with all of the regulations, especially coming out of COVID, and make sure that they're aware of like what they can and cannot do. And last thing is Girls Cultural Nights, which is to be announced, with the idea is to give to introduce a different crowd at GIRTS and provide like cultural, religion and culture clubs specifically with the opportunity to showcase their cultures. While kind of taking that burden off of them. So specifically for clubs, club workshops happened the first two weekends of September, and makeup sessions are also in progress and have been sent out to those groups to avoid sanctions. I've been dealing with a lot of issues of clubs who were inactive due to COVID or prior to COVID and kind of lost that that transition to now, and who would like to return and like come back to how things kind of used to be. So I've been dealing with those. We also had like communication wasn't at its best with previously ratified clubs. And so there are many clubs who our interim status or have received full status who have now been notified of that. So if you guys see brand new clubs under SMU, it'll be a lot of them, I hope. We also applied sanctions to clubs who did not submit their winter 22 audits and have updated those as needed for those who did again submit. And then we have a club handbook, which is something that's been done in the past but has been brought back just to have all the concise information that we did cover at club workshops and on club processes. So this is available both like physically but also online, and it's regularly updated, and it just has like literally any question you could possibly have on how to run your club, what rules and regulations you need to follow. It's all in there. For services, this past summer we spent doing space agreements with the services and groups that do have an office in the university center, just going over their use of their space and what they can and cannot do. Services Summit also took place on the second weekend of September. We currently have an MOU with MCERT to offer the free first aid certified trainings that I'm sure you guys have seen, and if you have not, should definitely take advantage of. Again, unresolved conflicts being followed through. And in collaboration with the VP Finance, we've been looking at ways to sort of remove like whatever financial barriers they may be when working with SMOOS, whether that be with credit limits or facilitating first approvals, or just kind of having some sort of like financial like transparency and literacy, like as you said. And then quickly on family care, this is fallen more so to VP UA, but I do still sit on the family care subcommittee. We're having our first meeting next week, and Miguel actually has a student parent support group every second week for those who would be interested or would benefit. And for my understanding, daycare is running very smoothly. I hope to be able to volunteer and help out where I can. And yeah, so regular activities have been scheduled, things such as like apple picking, which is pretty cool for the kids. Mental health. So as I mentioned, today there was an anti-cafe. The mental health outreach coordinator had an amazing idea just to get people talking about mental health in general and just finding out what resources they have available to them. Mental Illness Awareness Week does start on October 3rd. There's a calendar posted on Facebook for those interested. There are many events put together. There are therapy dogs, as they usually are every week. The Mental Health Commissioner is also working on rewriting the mental health plan and policy, and including academic accommodations within that. The Mental Health Advocacy Commissioner is also in collaboration with the Mental Health Commissioner working on the academic policy proposal with McGill Admin and with the VPUA. The Mental Health Committees are also being formed. Interviews and selection. Interviews have already happened for that. Selection is taking place currently. And the Wellness World Portal is being launched. This has been talked about for quite some time. It's called Compass. It's called My Wellness. And it's you guys should keep an eye out. It's being launched, and we'll be actively promoting it. It's essentially just like a survey-based platform that will be able to direct you to more specific needs that you might have with regards to mental health. So as I mentioned in the beginning, working with campus life engagement, I'm holding those workshops on how to get involved at McGill. I also sit on the scholarship review subcommittee with the deputy provost. And I've been working on integrating our student supports platform with McGill in order to give students access to the three services that they are offered as a result of their fees. Well, that's the main gist of it. If you guys have any questions, let me know. I also do have an office hours link that you can just like see my availabilities and just look within it. So I'd be interested in talking to y'all after. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. We'll not be taking any questions. If you have any questions, please raise your hand. Leon, you have the floor.
Hi, good evening. So I just want to say thank you to VP Student Life. It's always great to hear from you. So I have a bit of a question expanding on the financial part of what you had to say. So I know we mentioned it before in other meetings that we've had about reimbursements for services and whatnot. So I'm wondering if there was a little bit of a mention of it in your presentation, but I was wondering, is there any developments to streamline the reimbursements for volunteers by any means? Just as an example, if, say, for WalkSafe, as an example, if we had to pay out one of our volunteers for something, we have to ask for itemized receipt, which is normal, but also we have to ask for a bank statement, which can be partially invasive. I was wondering if there's any way to possibly show a little bit more trust to our volunteers.
Thank you very much. Hasa, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. I would maybe direct this a little bit more to Marco, but following our conversation, we did look into ways that we can facilitate, I guess, reimbursements overall, not just for volunteers, but reimbursements overall for service effects. So it is something that's still, I would say, yeah, it's definitely still in progress.
Thank you. I could also defer to Marco if you think it'll give some more clarity to the question. Marco, you have the floor.
There's a lot of work being done on mostly on the time mean for reimbursement. We're trying to go faster and faster all the time. So this is a constant work with the company and the bank for privacy. I know for banking statements, what people do is when they edit the banking statement to show only the payments so that there is no other personal information that are revealed. I'll be happy to book an office hour with you to go over the needs of volunteers specifically. I'm trying to reach out to every services. I haven't reached out to everyone that works there yet. And that would be an interesting conversation to have.
Thank you. I see Leon, your hand is still up if you want to ask a second question.
Yeah, absolutely. Just with all due respect, my Google Home might go off because it got triggered by what you just said, so just an FYI. But the bank statements are like definitely something that I would like to discuss, and I guess we could open it to the floor here because in previous years it was not required at all. I was wondering, because there wasn't any real transparency as to why it was even implemented, I was wondering what is its need in the modern day, if at all?
Thank you. Marco, you have the floor.
I didn't know that it was not needed before. The way accounting explains the need to have a banking statement is for the audit that happens every summer to have to cross references, I believe is the term. But again, as you said, if it's something that was unnecessary before, it's something that no one brought it up to me yet, so I'll be happy to look more into it to see the real necessity and to see if it's essential.
Thank you very much. Always a trouble with being in the same room. Well, thank you. If there's any further questions, like I think Leon appreciated your answer. We can have any some more hands up if you have any more questions. If not, we'll move on to the end of our agenda. All right, so with this, we've reached the adjournment. I declare this General Assembly adjourned at 19:25 on September 29th, 2022. So everybody have a good evening. It was nice seeing you. Have a good night. Bye-bye.